So good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I want to say thank you for agreeing to do this Living Oral History interview. This is phase three. We've done two other phases prior to this. And for the interview, we have actually, we have five parts. And we're going to start with demographics and family history.
Okay.
And so these questions may jog your memory, but please keep your answers brief and to the point for now. And we can go into more detail later in the interview. So please say and spell your name.
James William Anderson, Jr. You want me to spell it now, too?
Yes, please.
JamesWilliamAndersonJr. period.
Okay. And what is your date of birth, including the year?
10/23/37.
And how would you describe your ethnic background?
African American.
What is your religion, if any?
Protestant. We belong to the AME Church, although my mother was raised Presbyterian.
Okay. All right. What is the highest level of formal education you have completed?
Through 2 years of college.
What is your marital status?
I am 55 years married to the same person.
We need to stop and clap.
we've already clapped.
All right, clapped.
Yes, yes.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. Yes,
thank you. We just finished that.
You just finished the anniversary?
The 30th of May, of April.
Of April, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How many children do you have?
We have three children through our marriage, and then my wife and I agreed to raise my sister's two children, who were left by through the death of their mother and father.
Okay.
So we raised them.
All right. So you actually have five?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
How many siblings do you have?
Well, there were five of us total. And my sister had passed away, and then I have another sister and two brothers. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where do you fall in line?
I'm number two.
Number two. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're sort of a middle. Sort of middle child.
Kind of.
So am I. So are you still working full-time, semi-retired, or retired?
Well, I'm trying to retire, but it's difficult, but I think I'm succeeding at it, and trying to push back a little bit.
Okay.
And enjoy what's left of time, and enjoy the grandkids as they grow up, and that's my status right now.
Okay. And how many grandchildren do you have?
We have seven.
Seven. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Okay, now that completes part one.
Okay.
So we're going to part two, memories of childhood and youth. And so this part of the interview is about your childhood and youth. Even if these questions jog memories about other times in your life, please respond with memories for this part of your life. What was your family like when you were a child?
It was probably, I think, pretty normal. At least I deemed it as being normal. Go to work. My parents went to work, came home. We went to school, came home. There wasn't much exciting in terms of excitement as we know it today.
Okay.
You had to pretty much entertain yourself. We took some occasional vacations, but those were typically a revisitation of the roots of the family in South Carolina, which is where we came from.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of work did your parents do?
My dad he hauled coal. He worked on heating systems and so forth for Stabler and Son here in Ann Arbor. He later worked for the public schools in maintenance. My mother was one of the best cooks in the city of Ann Arbor, and she did a lot of catering. She worked at some of the fraternity and sorority houses, And she did have an interval where she obtained her beautician's license, and so she was a hairdresser and worked in a beauty parlor on the second floor of Ann Street with Myrtle Whitman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've heard quite a bit about Ann Street, and that's where a lot of black businesses were located.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm. And around the corner on 4th Avenue as
okay.
well.
Okay. What are some of the ones you recall as some of the businesses?
Well, Sanford McKinney had a cleaners, and he had a little restaurant, a little bar restaurant. Somebody else had. I'm not remembering who owned that.
Right.
But beauticians, barbers, food places, pool rooms.
Okay.
Yeah, that type of business. That was, okay. For the most part.
Right. So that was the Black Business District.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is your earliest memory as a child? You know, some of your earlier memories as a child, things that you.
Wow. Nothing strikes me as being singularly the epicenter or the focal point of my childhood memories. I really can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Just interacting with the people in the neighborhood and going to school and going home. I really didn't have anything. Going to church was probably one of the things that was consistently there. Sunday school and the interactions with the teachers there and so forth.
So for church, for me, it was like an all-day thing. Was it an all-day thing growing up where you go and
well, after Sunday school was church, and then there was, we didn't have a BYPU because we were not Baptist, but we went to the BYPU over the Baptist church around the corner. So, yeah, it was pretty much an all-day
right.
adventure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I remember,
mm-hmm.
too,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Which holidays did your family celebrate?
Christmas, Easter. Really didn't celebrate the holiday like the 4th of July, Labor Day, and that type of thing. Occasionally, don't remember too many picnics, but occasionally, you know, we could cook out on the grill and so forth. But basically, the traditional holidays were what we celebrated.
Okay. So when you did your the Christmas celebration, was there any like special traditions you did during that time?
No, nothing really special.
Okay.
It became special, I think, when we were able to save a little bit of money and buy presents and exchange presents. But we were always anticipating what we were going to get, not unlike a lot of the other kids. But that was basically it.
Okay.
Nothing extraordinary.
Okay. Was there any one Christmas that you remember something you got that you really wanted?
No, nothing that was nothing that comes to mind right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, did you play any sports or join any other activities outside of school or in school even?
I played football in high school. Intramural basketball, and I think that's basically I didn't intramural softball and so forth too, but not at the varsity level, not at the interscholastic level,
mm-hmm.
just football.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you do as a football player?
Well, if you leave it to my memory, I did really really good, but in actuality, I think that I was pretty average. And the stories got more, they got better as I got older.
As you told them over
as
and over again.
As we told them over again, yeah.
Okay. What about your school experience is different from school as you know it today?
Well, I'm not sure if I know what school is today because I've been a long way away from it. Kids are certainly experiencing a whole lot more today than they did when we were coming up, but... We had traditional music and band and orchestra, choir, We did those types of things. And we had all school events, so forth, carnivals and things to entertain ourselves as kids. Mm-hmm. But nothing extraordinary when I stopped to recall.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of your schooling, I know I've heard about Jones School and et cetera. Where did you actually attend?
Our family went to Mack School.
Okay.
And then I came to learn that as I became aware of what's going on in town, there were only about maybe 5, 6, 7 places in town where an African-American family could buy a house. And my mother and dad, I learned in retrospect, actually bought the house that we were raised in very early in their married life here in Ann Arbor. And so we owned the house on Minor Street, and there were only about one block on Minor Street, a few blocks on Gott Street, where African-American families could own, and they went to Mack School. So that's how we happened to be going to Mack School. And there weren't too many of us in Mack School.
Okay. And so when you talk about buying the home in that area, from what I understand now, that area has really changed in terms of people that are living there and buying property there.
Well, the whole of the city has changed, because my career right now happens to be in real estate, and it's pretty well known that anybody can buy anything that they can afford right now.
Mm-hmm.
And have been able to do that for some time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did your family have any special sayings or expressions while you were growing up?
Well, there were some, and I'm hard-pressed to put my thinking cap on it and come up with any of them, but we spent a fair amount of time, as I recall, in South Carolina whenever the family could return there, and to this day even, I remember many of the things that my grandmother and grandfather used to say, and I couldn't spit any out right now, but they were quite profound, and it gets the attention of my kids and my grandkids. I wonder, where did you learn that? Mm-hmm. I said, well, my grandmother said it, and if she said it, it must have been true.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're amazed at it, it probably is true.
Okay. You can't even think of a part of that, what that was.
Well, there were so many things in it. Okay. Something had to do with virtually any topic that came up. I'll think of something here.
Okay.
But they're really, really good, wise, no-nonsense type sayings.
Right.
Yeah.
I often think about some things my grandfather said, and we thought at the time, we thought, you know, oh, Grandpa, you know, that kind of thing. And now we look back on it, and he was right on.
He was right on.
He was right on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, one thing, and as a matter of fact, as it relates to education, that was kind of interesting. I happen to have been able to serve on the board at the local community college for several years. And the trustees had a rotation that they were subject to for talking at our commencements. And I happened to have used a statement that I remember my grandmother saying as the theme of the talk that I made. And it was kind of a challenge to the students. And she said to us, when we thought we knew everything, she said, there are enough things in this world you don't know to make another world, which was kind of a challenge to the recipients of this sage advice.
Okay.
To keep learning.
Mm-hmm.
Keep learning. There's a whole lot more to learn.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was one of them.
Okay.
And it seems that from time to time, when I get into depth with my kids and others, that an appropriate saying
would come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one of them that I've never forgotten.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay, when thinking back on your school years, what important social or historical events were taking place at that time How did they personally affect you and your family?
Well, I don't think they had were too young during the war to really analyze the effect on us. We knew we used to collect used kitchen fat. We used to collect newspapers. I was a Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. We used to a lot of drives and a lot of things that we were asked to do. The country was asked to do, and we participated in those things. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of anything specific. Rationing, I do remember a couple of times I had a couple of uncles that were in the service, and they were able to come home, and they had an allotment of candy and gum and things that they were able to get that we were not able to get, and they would buy us things like that. It's trite, trivial things, mm-hmm. but that was an effect. Mm-hmm. Nothing of any real consequence.
Well, no, just the fact that you couldn't get a lot of candy or something during that time, that must have been a real treat when they showed up.
Oh, that was.
Yeah. So you lived during the era of segregation. Can you speak about that?
Oh, I think, I don't know that I can recall as many things as maybe I could if I set my mind to it, except that I think parents did everything they could to allow their kids to exist in as normal an environment as they possibly could without being affected by as many things. We didn't go out to eat a lot, so it didn't matter about the restaurants that wouldn't serve you. We didn't go in hotels a lot because it wouldn't. We're not affected by those types of exclusions. So I think our parents did everything they could to make our existence as normal an existence and an upbringing as possible. And as we got older and start to experience on a firsthand basis the things that we were not allowed to do, then we were able to deal with those things and not necessarily our home environment. Occasionally we might get some advice from parents or something, but we started experiencing things as we got to be teenagers and later teens and young adults.
Okay. Now, so what about during that era in terms of elementary school and high schools? You spoke about restaurants. Anything there in terms of schools that you recall?
Nothing I don't think is specific because I think the environments within our schools were, I think were pretty good. And one of the things that I enjoy, and some of my contemporaries, some of my friends of that era enjoy, are some of the reunions. And we're having a 60-year class reunion this year, and there's interaction, and people recall a lot of things. And it was not a sterile environment per se, but then there were some interactions. But I think that we learned how to deal with it and to coexist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about the reunion in terms of the planning and when that's going to happen and where that's going to take place.
Well, I'm not involved in it anymore. I think the first one or two we had, I was involved in it. And all it is people getting together and recalling old times, and the stories get more and more exaggerated and things... things get better than they really were, but everybody just enjoys the recollection because there were some good friendships mm-hmm. across racial lines.
Okay.
Because we didn't have an abundance of African American kids in our class, but everybody got together and we'll get together and did get to at our reunions and enjoyed themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke earlier about Mack's school and the fact that there's only a few African Americans because there's only a few living in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It was the case. That was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But after the reunions, I'm talking about the high school.
Oh, the high school reunions.
Yeah, those are high school reunions that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the last section here talks about accommodation, for African Americans or blacks, they refer here, during the era of segregation. So people came in town to visit. Where did they stay?
The interactions that we had, as I recall, with our family were just house to house, and there were not a lot of overnight accommodations. They would stay with the relatives if they were coming to visit for a while. Mm-hmm. And there was always room. We always found room. If somebody's coming to visit you, we always found room. Mm-hmm. And when we went someplace else to visit, which was not that many places, we always were accommodated.
Because mm-hmm. there really weren't hotels for blacks during that time.
Correct.
Okay, now we're going to move into part three, which is adulthood, marriage, and family life. This set of questions covers a fairly long period of your life, from the time you completed your education, entered the labor force, or started a family until all of your children left home and you and your spouse retired, but you're not retired yet. So we might be talking about a stretch of time spanning several decades. So after you finished high school, where did you live? And did you remain there, or did you move around during your adult life?
Well, I guess I moved around. I tried to accommodate the education that I was attempting to get, but I lived at home for probably 1 or 2 years total after I graduated from high school. The rest of it, I was on. I was seeking independence and was finding it as best I could, and I was pretty much on my own.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yep. And I think it was probably more comfortable leaving and going back to visit. And my mother had remarried, mm-hmm. and my mother and dad had separated. So, mm-hmm. so, but we managed okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you find that children stay home longer now than they did then? Do they stay for more years after they finish high school?
Oh, they stay home and return home, you know, now, as I know this as a consequence of the business that I'm in, because mm-hmm. people are looking for homes that can accommodate the grown family and a still growing family, or okay. one that will return. So mm-hmm. they're coming back and having a hard time finding their independence.
Okay. That's what I hear people say. Yes. I don't have children, but I hear people say they leave, but they come back.
Well, my kids, I think they probably got the cue. We never told them to leave, but they wanted to leave.
Okay.
They wanted to assert themselves and become independent.
And be independent.
And we encouraged it.
Right.
And helped them wherever we could.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, is there anything you'd like to share with us about married life and family life? We talked a little bit about your children just now, but anything you want to share about that at all?
I'm not sure what there is to share. You don't become an expert. I don't know if you ever become an expert at it, but accommodation, you know. I think women are probably holding their ground as much or more now than they were then. Mm-hmm. And in our family life, both parties are participating in the governance, so to speak. And you learn to accommodate.
Okay.
And the kids, we watch the kids and we learn from them, they learn from us, and it's mm-hmm. been a good sharing experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that it's been 55 years for you and your wife, Dolores?
Correct, Dolores, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share in that section at all?
Yeah, it's been good. it's been a learning experience, and we're not through learning.
Okay.
But it's been a good experience.
Okay. So let me see, I think I missed something right here. What did you and your family enjoy doing together when your kids were still home? We talked earlier about when you were a child and what you did with your parents. Mm-hmm. But what are some things that you did together with your kids while they were still at home? And what were your personal favorite things to do for fun?
Ooh, wow. I did a lot of work. I don't know if it was fun, but I enjoyed the work that I was doing. Okay. And doing things with the kids. Everybody seemingly were focused on some things that they needed to accomplish and things they needed to do. Just supporting them in what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They were involved in music and sports and so forth, and mostly in music and the like, and supporting them, mm-hmm. going and encouraging them.
Okay.
Enjoyed doing that. Mm-hmm. We take some occasional vacations, but not the elaborate. I'm trying to remember where we visited my grandparents, the same grandparents that my folks had taken us to see.
Okay.
Visited them a little bit.
Was that South Carolina?
In South Carolina.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But everybody seemed, and then as they grew, I think they got jobs and they worked summers and, you know, they were learning independence and mm-hmm. never discouraged that.
Okay. So. Okay. So when you say music, was it singing or was it playing instruments?
It was piano and violin in one case, and it was instrumental music for the most part, I think.
Okay.
And they did a little of both.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any special days, events, or family traditions you practice that differed from your childhood traditions?
Boy, I'd have to give that some time. I think that you end up doing the things that you're accustomed to doing, and I'm not a great experimenter and going in different directions.
Okay.
But we have, as the kids have grown, my wife and I have taken, you know, we've traveled a little bit, not enough to suit her, but we've traveled a little bit and done things. And we've just enjoyed watching them grow and become parents.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. and spending a little time with the grandkids.
Mm-hmm. So. And so, now tell me again, you have how many grandchildren?
Seven.
Seven, okay. Mm-hmm. As parents, as grandparents, do you do a lot in terms of keeping them or?
No, not. We've had some good interactions. As they get older, they become a little more independent.
Okay.
And, you know, we acknowledge that they have parents. That's the first. That's their first line, and whatever can be done to accommodate the wishes of their parents and
okay.
them, we can participate with them, go see them, have them come and see us or spend time with us. But mm-hmm. but for the most part.
No. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that completes part three. Now we're going to go to part four. And that has to do with work and retirement. And so you haven't really retired, so let me take a closer look at this question.
I'm trying, but I have a reasonable amount of experience that what I'm doing, and then developed a customer client base that is asking me from time to time to do things, and I try to accommodate. But it's becoming easier to retire now, and I'm learning. I think okay. I'm learning how to do it.
Okay, so that leads us right into what is your main field of employment? How did you first get started with this job, and what got you interested? So you can really elaborate on the business.
Well,
business.
I was initially in retailing, and I worked for several years in retail, photographic equipment and supplies and the like, and then I was the company was sold that I was working with, and then a person in the real estate brokerage recruited me, and it was compatible with me and how I wanted to operate, a lot of independence, and I did and developed a good following. And later on, when the major company was dissolved, And it was probably dissolution, probably some of it was dissolution, but the other one was he wanted to become independent of me, and I wanted to become independent of him. Okay. I started my own company, so I did that. And the evolutions were good and natural and comfortable.
Okay. Do you want to share the name of your company?
The Anderson Associates.
Okay.
That company?
Yes.
But it's no longer, it's, I'm in the process of dissolving that, per se. The name, the name will be there, but I don't have any plans of growing it again.
Okay. All right. And so you've been doing that for approximately how many years?
I've been in the real estate business for 37 years.
All right.
And it's, I used to supervise a company that had over 100 agents, and then when I went out on my own, we grew it to about 35, and before it started to go the direction that we're going in right now.
So, okay, okay.
So it's been a learning experience, satisfying, challenging, and I think we've done okay.
Okay. All right. So, what's a typical day like? What is a typical day like in at your company for you?
There was nothing typical.
Okay.
Everything was different. It's challenging because people who wanted to succeed and your agents needed to succeed, needed guidance and direction, and they always needed something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So you would accommodate their needs and their challenges and their, we had their situations because every transaction was different.
Okay.
And so they needed help, they got help.
Mm-hmm.
And your broker was the resource.
Okay, okay. And the market certainly has turned around this past year or so.
It's one of the many cycles that it's been through.
Okay.
Yeah, we've seen this before.
Okay.
Yes.
All right,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the biggest difference in your field of employment from the time you started until now? What are some differences?
Well, I think the denomination, the prices of the product is certainly different. People are cautious about it. I think there are more government regulations and restrictions and requirements for buying and selling real estate. So you have to comply with all of those things. You have to be very cautious about things. So. Not that people were sloppy about it before, but more to a greater degree now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know you mentioned earlier about people, because of the business you're in, people are buying all over, you know, the area. And I know when we talked to other individuals, like I said, at one period, during a certain period, African Americans only stayed in that Ann Street that area over by
Well, Zingerman's. There were a few. I found out kind of by accident where people were directed, where African-Americans were directed.
Okay.
Right after Dolores and I were married, though I recall and have told the story many, many times that there was a house that we saw because we were renting.
Mm-hmm.
There was a house that we saw that we thought we wanted to buy and were denied the opportunity to buy it. And I could have fought it more and more, but I chose to do an end run on it and found something else. And, and now, and I'm glad that was the case
mm-hmm.
and that things worked out all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now just to follow up on that area that's by Treasure Mark, there's some, I call them brownstones right down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an area also for African Americans down from Treasure Mark?
Mm-hmm. My dad lived over there on Fifth Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah, he lived in there.
Okay.
And right now that area is probably some of the most expensive real estate in the city of Ann Arbor right now, all of that north central area,
uh-huh.
all around the farmer's market and where they've made condominiums or apartments out of our old Bethel Church.
Somebody else talked about that. You want to talk a little bit more about that? Did they go in and just do X amount of units? Because I've not been in there to see it.
I haven't been in it either. I watched it as they were doing some things, and people just desire living in the inner city right now.
Okay.
The word inner city in Ann Arbor doesn't mean the same, doesn't have the same connotation that it had inner city when during the 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But people enjoy downtown. They enjoy walking. They just enjoy the interactions of a downtown. And Ann Arbor's done a particularly good job, I think, in developing its downtown. I think they've gone to the extreme in some instances, but that's the difference there. The land value is there, and the renovation values. Some people will tear them down and build them up, and others will just renovate.
Okay.
People like everything old is not bad.
Right. So, right. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I agree. Now I know that we interviewed Mrs. Seeley, but she still lives in that area.
Right on the corner.
Right
Beeks,
on the corner.
Beeks and Fourth Avenue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Mae Seeley.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just curious, you might not know in terms of if people are interested in where she's located there.
I would guess that they were, and I don't know.
Okay.
I've speculated that somebody probably has their eye on it already, and maybe even have a transaction. They might even have the transaction already written. It's hard to know.
Right.
A future value and, right. future transaction or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
But it's very, very desirable.
Right.
And people have done a wonderful job of, mm-hmm. Of redeveloping the area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, she was part of phase one when we did our first mm-hmm. Phase one of these interviews.
My uncle used to live in her house.
Okay.
One of my uncles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, she's always been such a community person and welcome people in when you come in town,
mm-hmm.
be it
mm-hmm.
meals or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
She
and Mr. Seeley.
Yep.
That's great. What do you value most about what you are doing for a living and why?
What do I value most?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've never categorized it. And I've okay. never. Independence, abilities to move and to do, and making my own decisions is pretty valuable.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a nephew that's gone into his own business, and that's what he loves about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. How did things change when all your children left home? Did anything change?
I think we looked for meaningful ways to fill the time
okay.
and space and without smothering the kids.
Okay.
But finding ways to help them and assist them, we've always tried to do that. And
okay.
So I really haven't quantified those things
okay.
In terms of how they've changed. We try to stay out of their way, try to watch them grow,
okay.
help them, advise them, sometimes whether they want it or not. But they do a pretty fair job.
They do
a great job, as a matter of fact.
And I see them, and I think so too.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I think there's some neat kids.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, so during your working life, which is now, what important historical events were taking place, and how did they personally affect you and your family?
The whole integration, segregation, busting out, that's taken place. And then the other phases of it, to watch the country grow and watch things grow and expand. I happen to have been, I took my son and grandson to Washington, D.C. for the groundbreaking of the Martin Luther King Memorial. And I wanted to do that because I knew that was on the epicenter. That was a pivotal point, and it signified some things, that a monument that will be there forever, hopefully. And I said, this is the beginning of the of a new phase. It's symbolic of it. And we had a good time, just the three of us. And I watch what's going on now, and I'm watching how things are developing there. And that's one thing that's kind of symbolic, and change is taking place everywhere. And unfortunately, we're not able to see them all take right. place, but this is one that was specifically close, mm-hmm. watching that happen. Mm-hmm.
And so that was really three generations of you that went.
Yep.
Okay.
And the things that have taken place since then, as a matter of fact, I just got a solicitous letter to donate some more money to the memorial.
Okay.
To the Martin Luther King Memorial.
Right.
And it won't be much, but it'll be something.
Okay.
Because that has to be sustained.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And I have two granddaughters that live on the East Coast, and they've spent time in D.C. and watched things, and we talk to them about that from time
okay.
to time, too.
Okay.
But they're busy doing other things now.
Right, right. So since that visit, have you been back?
No, I've not been back.
Okay.
Yes, I have been back. Mm-hmm. I've seen where it is, but it was, they were at the beginning, they were at one of the phases of development of the
okay.
memorial. And it's come a long ways. It's
okay.
basically complete, almost completed now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dr. Lonnie Bunch was here, and he's heading up the whole process to get an African American museum there.
Smithsonian. It's a part of the Smithsonian.
That
I've
is
got,
correct.
I'm on their
mailing list. Mailing this as well. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And hopefully there will be some success, because there's a rich history.
Right.
That's existing that people need to know about.
Right. And they're going to be a national African American
mm-hmm.
museum.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in, he spoke, and I had a chance to go and hear him, and then to share. Those of us that were there had a chance to share what we're doing around history in our own area, including
mm-hmm.
There's some people there from Charles H. Wright, it's myself, and
mm-hmm.
you know, people from the university.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very good,
mm-hmm.
very
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so we're going to move into part five, which is the last part, and it's historical and social events. And so tell me how it's been for you to live in this community, because you've been here all or most of your life?
All
your life, okay. So,
My parents came here in 1930, late 36, early 37.
Okay.
And we've been here. I've been here ever since.
Wow. Yeah.
The family has been here.
Okay.
Although my brothers and sisters have moved in different directions, but it's comfortable.
Okay.
And I don't think I make too many demands on it, and if I do, it ought to give them up, because I've paid my dues.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's comfortable.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and that's one of the things that we've been looking for, is people that have been to do this Living Oral History project is people that have been here all or most of their lives. So you certainly
are qualified.
Right, qualified, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, when thinking back on your entire life, what important social, historical events had the greatest impact?
I'd have to give it some thought. I really
okay.
don't know. I haven't, you know, I don't know if anyone has the greatest impact. I think there are a lot of things when you look at them in combination, and you know, they've all combined to have significant mm-hmm. give a significance to your life and to the life that you bring your children up in too.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what is more significant than others.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, I can't put a number one or number two or number
okay.
three to categorize them.
Okay. Well, if you think about it before we end the interview, we can come back to that.
Okay.
Okay. When thinking back over your entire life, what are you most proud of?
Funny you should ask that, because not long ago, I just played a game with myself and just kind of rated some things that I'd accomplished and I'd done. Probably my family is number one. Because my wife used to live here before she moved away and came back, and we were married and lived and stayed here. Her stepfather had been the minister at our church.
Which church was that?
Bethel.
Oh. And what was his name?
Reverend Wright.
Okay.
But her. And so that was one thing. And then I had the opportunity during Reverend Wood's tenure as minister to be the chair of the building committee. So I actually interacted with the church and the builder and chaired the building committee for Bethel Church, and that was significant. When I was a JC, I did some work in behalf of the JCs to establish the community college.
Wow.
And
Washtenaw Community College.
Washtenaw Community College. And later on, I spent 19 years as a trustee.
WCC.
At WCC, and actually chaired the board for a couple of years while I was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was significant.
I would agree.
That was significant.
Yeah. Okay.
And there have been a few things that have that are comfortable.
Okay.
And provide good reflection.
Right. Now, I want to go back for a minute to the building committee for Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And so was that to build the location where we're at, where they're located now, or what was that?
The trustees and the folk at Bethel had already purchased that block.
The whole block?
That whole block. That was already part of the acquisitions. That was in the inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was already existing. And we have a groundbreaking picture that my son and Sylvia Bynum and Reverend Woods and others and myself and church members were there. And that's pretty nostalgic.
Right. We might want to use that at some point or get a copy of it and use it.
Yeah, it's there. I think it's somewhere in our church annals and church
okay.
archives, too.
Okay.
Should be there.
Okay.
And Reverend Parks had started the design with an architectural firm called Cuthbert and Cuthbert. And I ended up working with Mr. Cuthbert's son, because he had actually grown and we developed and refined the plans and changed them, and it was done.
Okay. So you mentioned the whole block. So they eventually sold off part of the block? Or?
No. We, from one corner to the next, from Travers to Peach Street, or I think Pear.
Right.
Pear.
Okay.
That's a whole block.
That's the whole block?
Yeah. That was, they had purchased that block.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it was put to good use.
Right, yeah. Well, that's, mm-hmm. as I do these interviews, I'm learning a lot of stuff, so that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Reverend Woods, it was then that I became a member when Reverend Woods was the pastor at that time. So.
He was my favorite.
It's been my favorite, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You could just feel, that he was a spiritual, very spiritual person.
Very.
So.
Very down to earth.
Yes.
Very realistic.
Right, yeah. Love Reverend Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what would you say has changed the most from the time you were a young person to now?
I don't know that I can name any one thing that has changed the most.
Okay.
I think there's a little more comfort, social comfort, academic comfort. Some things have probably gone a cycle and started changing back,
mm-hmm.
Taking steps backwards. But I think that I can't think of anything that is more so. A lot of things have improved significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. More opportunities.
Okay. I was going to say, what has improved? More opportunities.
Opportunities. Education. Okay. Access to good education. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. What advice would you give? Would you give the younger generation?
They don't want my advice.
You can give it to them anyway.
No. Well, let's put it this way: they're going to get it. My kids will. They get it, and they are accommodating, and they patronize me a little bit, and they listen.
Okay.
But I don't know that I have a lot of. I'd have to go back to my grandmother's. Some of her sayings, that there are enough things you don't know still.
Right.
You think you know them all.
Okay.
To make another world, because that's the world that they're growing up in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, just your thoughts of anything on, first of all, did you think you'd ever live to see an African-American president in the White House?
I never thought about that. Okay. I'm happy that I did live to see it, that we've lived to see it. And I think that people, when they deal with it, have realized that it's not so bad. Mm-hmm. That there's intelligence all around us, mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. And people have abilities that can be put to work and kind of positively affect a universe,
mm-hmm.
and the world.
And the world, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the world.
So that was the last question, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you an opportunity to have any final thoughts, comments, or some quote or saying you'd like to end with.
I don't know that I have anything that's so profound that hasn't been woven through here already. I can't think of anything that I need to keep. We have to keep on keeping on. You know,
keep on keeping on. Okay.
Because we're just at the beginning.
Okay.
There's still a whole lot more to accomplish and to learn and to do and people to inspire and education to be gained.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much for taking the time out of your schedule to mm-hmm. do this Living Oral History Project. We certainly appreciate it.
You're
so
welcome.
On behalf of the African American Culture and Historical Museum, I would like to say thank you.
You're welcome.